Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, Apex Church. It's so good to be with you this morning. We love you. We love Apex Church. We love your pastors, Neil and Phyllis, and are so thankful for them. So today, I want to continue the theme of stress-free living. The word stress is heard really frequently in our society. You hear a lot of talk about people being stressed and feeling stressed. And let's face it, often the idea of stress-free living seems like an idea that's kind of somewhere over the rainbow, something that's quite unattainable. But you know, during this season we've all found ourselves in, I found something that I really believe will help us. It's certainly helped me. And as we've navigated this season of lockdown and, you know, just being at home and not being able to gather, there was a verse that kept coming to me. I kept seeing it pop up everywhere. I kept seeing it just on social media, in my daily readings, people would share it. It was the same verse. And I want to use that today to just explain to you how it's resonated with me, but also how it can help you. I want to talk to you about Jesus as the rest giver. And, you know, sometimes we can think, oh, rest is just taking a break, but I believe that Jesus gives us a different type of rest. I believe that we can only know the rest, the true rest that he wants us to experience from him, and that we can be on our way to receiving that rest and stress-free living as we truly understand what that means for us. I really pray that it helps you today. Matthew 11 verse 25 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, some of you, probably most of you, would know that I'm a mum of five, and from April 1999, apart from 4 months in, I think it was 2006, where my two oldest were at school, but I was pregnant actually with number three, I've had a child at home right up until September 2017. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, there's not much rest in there, and that's absolutely true. There's been so many seasons where there just wasn't much rest, sleepless nights and just feeling really, really exhausted. But the fact is, we all need rest. Rest is good. It's good for us. It recharges us. It reboots us. It propels us on for the next season and helps us in the season that we're actually in. But I think sometimes we've got it a little bit wrong, because rest isn't a lack of work. Rest, I believe, is a spirit. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to tell us in these scriptures. The type of rest that he is talking about is not just having a lie down. It's not just having an early night or even a holiday. He's talking about a rest for your soul. You can meet the busiest person who has the fullest life and is carrying a lot, but they're at rest. And you can be with that person and you can see that, you know, although they might be busy, that they're still at rest in their soul. And then you can be with somebody else who doesn't really carry very much at all, but they don't feel at peace. They feel stressed. They feel like there's pressure. You don't feel rested after you've been with them. And we live in a world that's where we're constantly pushed to be more productive, aren't we? How can we do more? How can we fit more in? How can we, you know, how many times have you thought to yourself or said, you know, I just wish there was another day in the week. I just don't have enough time. And so we're pushed to put more into the days that we have. And time is our most valuable commodity. But the problem is, I believe we're missing the point. The key is not pushing ourselves to do more, but to work from a place of rest, from the rest giver. When we are filled by God, we can be way more productive, I believe. I believe that too often we feel weary, we feel overwhelmed, that we we feel like we can't go on. We feel like we're under so much pressure. But instead of going to the rest giver, we just check out. We quit, we give up, we retreat, we withdraw, and we think that that's going to fix the way we are. Now, I'm an advocate of rest and taking a break. I really am. But I think that really, that often is just maybe a sticking plaster for some deeper issue. And the issue is that we're not experiencing the real rest that comes from Jesus, that comes from God. And I'm not talking about just stepping back for a season, but I'm talking about giving up, because your soul is weary, your soul is burdened, you're worn out and you're stressed out. Jesus has given all of us something to carry, every single one of us. No one is exempt, and you know, we're all called to play our part. And I love this quote that says, it really got, I heard this a few years ago and it really got me thinking. And it says, it's not the load that wears you down, it's the way you carry it. I'm going to say that again. It's not the load that wears you down, it's the way you carry it. So we've all got a load to carry, but the way we carry it is so, so important to how we're feeling, to how, what plays out in our lives, and how we navigate carrying that load. So I want to give you a few keys today, keys to help you get true rest from the rest giver. And I believe that as we practice these principles, that we're really on our way to living the stress-free lives that we all want to live. So listen up, I've got four of them for you. And I'm going to start with the first one, which is kind of an obvious one. But number one is the relationship with God. If we are going to experience true rest from Jesus, we need to have a relationship with God, yes, but also make it a priority. Quite a few years ago, Andrew and I were going on a missions trip. This is just before we got married. We didn't have a lot of money, so we decided to do some sponsored events to raise money to go on this missions trip. And we decided to do a 48-hour fast, and people would sponsor us for doing this. And, you know, it's funny because if you've ever done a fast, a complete fast, we were just having water. The first 24 hours were just so, so hard. I just wanted, all I wanted to think about was food. All I did think about was food. All I wanted to do was eat food, and I couldn't. But the funny thing was that after that 24 hours had passed and we got into the, you know, running up to the end of it, I started to feel less hungry. I didn't actually want the food. I didn't have that real hunger for food as much as I had in the first 24 hours. And I think this is such a great analogy of us as Christians, that, you know, often we can go so long without our spiritual food that we're not hungry anymore. We're not hungering after Jesus, and we're kind of like, oh, well, this is just the way it is. But then we wonder why. Because the thing is, if in that fast I'd thought, oh, do you know what? I don't feel hungry anymore. I'm just going to continue. I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to, obviously, after a while, I wouldn't be healthy. I wouldn't be strong. I would be weak. My body would become deficient. And I think this is the key. Often we starve our relationship with God. We're not filling it. But after a while, we don't feel hungry for it anymore. And so we just think we can carry on. And then we wonder why we are deficient, why we're stressed, why we're overwhelmed, and why we're burdened. So it's important that we keep our relationship with God as a priority. Jesus says, come to me. He explains who he is. He says, I am gentle and lowly of heart. Jesus is saying, come to me because I'm going to be gentle with you. It's not about me. I want to help you if you'll let me. He wants us to come to him. And you know, we must remember that religion wears us down and makes us weary, but relationship brings rest and brings life. And you know, the longevity of a relationship can bring with it duty. Andrew and I have been married for 23 years. And with that, it's so easy to become flippant with it, to become almost religious. We get into a rut of just the way things are, the way we do things. And it takes effort to keep that relationship fresh, to keep that relationship intimate, to keep it strong. It takes effort and it takes work. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll know that when you first became a Christian, everything was fresh, everything was new. You were desperate to read your Bible. You were desperate to pray. You wanted to see miracles every other day. But then after a while, it can become religious. It can become a duty, just like any other relationship. So it's so important that our relationship with God has our focus, that it has our priority. To have a relationship of any worth it requires dying to yourself. Jesus has already died to himself to have a relationship with us. Maybe we need to do a little bit more dying to ourselves in order to prioritize our relationship with him. He says, come to me, come to me, come to me. So I want to encourage you today, prioritize your relationship with God. Prioritize that. Make sure it's rich. Make sure you haven't gone past that stage of hunger. Make sure that you're feeding it. And I believe that that will bring rest to your soul. The second point is learning from God. You know, in a relationship, you do learn from each other. I mean, Andrew and I laugh because we're so different, but I think that's why we work. And if you're a couple, you'll know that you're probably opposites. You probably are completely different things. We say that, you know, we've evened each other out over the years. I've learned from him, he's learned from me. And you know, with Jesus, we're in this relationship, not just for what we can get out of it, but so that we can learn about him, yes, but also to learn from him. Our goal is to be more like Jesus. But often in our lives, we're trying to learn from everyone else. We're listening to the latest podcast and we're reading books to learn from other people. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing. But our priority must be that we're learning from Jesus. He has a yoke for us. He doesn't want us not to do anything. He has something for every single one of us, but his yoke isn't restrictive. And that's what we need to learn from him today. It's a perfect fit. And when we are yoked with him, there's a rhythm to it. It's a yoke of ease. He says, my yoke is easy. My yoke, the thing that you're supposed to carry, it's an easy burden. Now, that's not saying that everything is going to be easy, but there is an ease to it. He says, walk with me. In the message version, it says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. We need to watch and learn from Jesus and understand that as we learn from him, we learn how to carry that burden that's supposed to be light, but suddenly has become really, really weighty and has started to make us feel overwhelmed and stressed and just under pressure. We need to learn how to carry that burden well. There's a great story that I want to tell you here. It says there was an old farmer plowing with a team of oxen. As I saw this team, I was somewhat amazed, for one was a huge ox and the other one was a very small bullock. That ox towered over the little bullock that was sharing the work with him. I was amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plow with two such unequal animals in the yoke, and I commented on the inequality to the man with whom I was riding. He stopped his car and said, I want you to notice something. See the way those traces are hooked up to the yoke. You will observe that the large ox is pulling all the weight. That little bullock is being broken into the yoke, but he isn't actually pulling any weight. My mind instinctively came to this passage of scripture where our Lord said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am. In the normal yoking, the load is equally distributed between the two that are yoked together. But when we are yoked with Jesus Christ, he bears the load, and we, who are yoked to him, share in the joy and accomplishment of the labor, but without the burden of the yoke. How great is that? Just that picture of that strong ox bearing the burden, but bringing the young bullock alongside so that they can learn from the bigger animal. Well, that's like us and Jesus. He's carrying the burden from us, but we're coming alongside and he's bearing the brunt of it. But he wants to train us and help us to carry the load in the way that he carries it. He wants to show us. So we need to learn from him. Learn from him. That's number two. Learn from God. Number three is enthusiasm in God. You know, when our soul is weary, we often lose our enthusiasm and passion for things, or our passion for Jesus, our passion for the church, for the Bible, for serving, our passion for life. We can easily do that. But you know, enthusiasm isn't just something that we crank up. It isn't just something that, you know, somebody can say, be more enthusiastic, and we have to try and be more enthusiastic. But I really believe that enthusiasm comes from within. You know, the actual word, the Latin word for enthusiasm is enthusiasmus. And it's actually a variant of entheos, which means having a God within, God possessing. So enthusiasm comes from actually being in him. That's how we don't have to muster up that enthusiasm, but when we are in him, that enthusiasm comes in our life and overflows naturally. And you know when you have that natural enthusiasm for life, you wake up, you feel this is going to be a good day, I'm going to attack the day, I'm going to do everything I've got to do. We don't muster up that, it comes naturally, but I believe that it comes naturally when we are doing the things that I've just mentioned. We have a relationship with God and we learn from God, and that brings the enthusiasm from God within us. We have to be in him. What makes you enthusiastic about your relationships? Being committed and fully invested, being fully in it. We have to be fully in it. And then we get the adventure. Then we get the enthusiasm. You know, I love the movies, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And I just love the way that Aslan is portrayed, so strong. But he's a lion that's strong and gentle, but also he's full of life and full of passion. And I love this quote that it says, he's not safe, but he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. And when we are in him, we start to live a life of adventure and enthusiasm when we're truly living the way Jesus wants us to live, when we're immersed in him. The Bible says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And when we're truly operating that way in him, that we give him the first part of our day, that we commit our day for him, that we're living our life, we're living our days out in Jesus, that enthusiasm, I believe, it overflows in our lives, and we don't have to muster it up, but we actually live that John 10:10 life of life in all its fullness. So that's number three. And the very last one is the presence of God. There's nothing quite like the presence of God to recharge us and refresh us. I don't know about you, but I'm really, really missing being in the room with everybody else and being able to worship together and really just recharge. You know, there's something to be said, but you know, for singing along with worship music at home, but it's just not the same as hearing everyone's voices around you, everyone's hands lifted. You know, there's just not the same as being in the room with corporate worship. And I know for me, you know, the same as you, we've been at home and there's seven of us in our house, so you don't get the time to be alone and be on your own. And just a couple of weeks ago, Andrew took the three older boys camping, and I had Olivia and Will, our youngest, at home with me, but they were actually out that day and I actually had the house to myself, which I absolutely love. There's nothing like being alone in the house. But I realized that I hadn't had that long stretch of time for such a long time. I'd been reading my Bible. Yes, I'd been listening to worship music. Yes, I'd been singing along and worshiping. But I hadn't had that real quality time in the presence of God. And so what I did was I just cranked up those worship songs. I got my Bible out and I spent a good hour and a half, 2 hours just worshiping, singing at the top of my voice and just really digging into God's word. And that recharged me so much. I received so much rest for my soul in that moment. So much rest for my soul in that moment. And I just really felt that the stress, the struggles, the things that I'd been carrying just started to melt away when I really immersed myself in the presence of God. So can I encourage you? Whatever you need to do, make sure that you make time to be in the presence of God. Maybe it's being in your car by yourself and just having that music loud and taking, you know, when you're on your way somewhere, just praying and worshiping Jesus and just letting the presence of God saturate your soul. But whatever you need to do, make sure you do that. Maybe if you have to wait till the kids have gone to bed or somebody's gone to work or whatever it needs to be, well, let me encourage you, there is no replacement and no substitute for the presence of God. The rest that it brings to your soul, the worries that are lifted when we're in the presence of God, nothing compares to that. So let me encourage you to do that. You know, a couple of years ago, well, 5 years ago to be precise, my mum passed away and it was a really, really difficult time for me. And although I hadn't lost my faith, I just felt that there was distance between me and God and I couldn't seem to close that gap. And I remember going to Hillsong Conference a few months after, 3 or so months after, and the worship starting on the opening night and really feeling that the presence of God came and washed over me and really just connected with me. And for the first time, I felt like I really, really, really worshipped in spirit and in truth and really felt the presence of God. But the interesting thing was that, you know, I went on and thought I was fine and continued to even lead worship in my church and just to worship God and read my Bible and do all the things that as Christians, you know, we know we're supposed to do. But then I went to another conference a couple of years later, and the speaker talked about the Holy Spirit, and he said, the Holy Spirit is your comfort. And I remember feeling like I needed to respond to that. When he asked for a response, I stood and I broke, absolutely broke in the presence of God. And I realized that sometimes, that even though we feel like we're back where we should be with God, that sometimes we've put walls up in our heart, and we don't even realize we're doing it. I didn't even realize that I still had walls in my heart. But as I allowed the Holy Spirit in the presence of God that night to really just break down those walls, I felt a new freedom. I felt a new release. So can I encourage you to do that? To examine your heart and say, God, have I put walls? Why do I feel distant? Have I got walls in my life? Let your presence break those walls down. Break those walls down. I believe that you'll find a new sense of intimacy with God, a new breakthrough in your life. You'll find that the presence of God is fresher and stronger than it ever has been. And maybe you need somebody to pray with you. Ask somebody, reach out, don't struggle on alone. But I believe today that as we practice these four principles, number one, relationship with God, learning from God, enthusiasm in God, and the presence of God. I believe that as we practice these, that we will really start to live and experience the rest of God and less of the stress in life. Let me read that scripture to you one more time. Let me read it to you because it's so powerful. Matthew 11 verse 25. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's my prayer for you today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you are the rest giver, that your goal for our lives is not for us to struggle and be overwhelmed and stressed, but you really want us to experience the rest, the true rest that comes from you. Thank you that the burden that you give us to carry, that you bear that weight, and it's light for us to carry. Help us to learn from you. Help us to prioritize our relationship with you. Help us to receive from you and be in you so that we can truly be enthusiastic and live that life in all its fullness. And let us constantly be thirsting after your presence, oh God. And maybe you're listening today and you actually don't know Jesus at all. I want to say to you, Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for you so that he bridged that gap between us and God the Father, so we could be forgiven of all of our sins and so that we could know him and belong to him. So today, if you're watching, I just want to say a simple prayer. And I believe that the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is, you believe that he died on a cross and was raised from the dead, that you will be saved. And so I want to give you that opportunity now. If that's you, just pray along with me. So Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong things I've ever done. I ask you to come into my life and change me, make me new, give me a fresh start. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you made that decision today, please tell someone, reach out to someone, and there'll be somebody I know from Apex Church who will love to help you and help you get started on your journey with Jesus. Well, it's been an absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to speak to you today. Hopefully we'll see you in the not too distant future. God bless and lots of love.